The Vital Statistics of Mental Health with psychologist David Abramson is brought to you by the High FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.
Certainly, on the business side, I've noticed that a lot of people that I'm dealing with are experiencing a certain amount of fragility. And I think that's probably the best word to describe it. People are a little bit more sensitive. Whatever struggles that they might have had before lockdown, they're having to a much greater extent now. Somebody told me about, and I can't remember the word, but you're a psychologist, so you'll remember it. When you get annoyed with people chewing too loudly.
Oh, gee, is there a word for that?
Yes. It's like mesothropin something. So now if you just Google that, it's obviously not in the DSM. But when you get annoyed, when people chew too loudly, there's actually a condition. And I spoke to somebody yesterday who told me that they are in danger of being murdered by their wife.
Misophonia.
Misophonia, that's the word. Have you heard of it, David?
Okay. I've learned something today.
I don't know how real it is or isn't, but apparently that's when we get irrationally annoyed with the sound of somebody chewing or breathing. So normally, we can cope with it because people are separated and they're at work and they're all sorts of things. Now we're living on top of each other, and the mere sound of them chewing can send us into a murderous rage. But I mean, of course, that's just sort of a metaphor for everything. Are you seeing psychological conditions being exacerbated to a dangerous or worrisome extent at the moment?
Well, I think to answer the question, I think there's no question that I think myself, my colleagues are seeing an uptake, an increase in anxiety, moods going down, depression, if you want to describe it like that. There is definitely a move in that direction. And I think for me, though, even though we're seeing it and we clearly are seeing it, I don't think we're going to see the full extent from a psychological and emotional fallout point of view for some time to come. Because I think if we look at past experiences, we look at SARS, in 2003. I mean, that was very different. It only lasted for 3 months. It was very localized. But even with SARS, we saw that afterwards there was a huge, there's like 40% of people who, of the survivors of SARS, just the survivors, people who experienced SARS actually had the virus, experienced psychological and psychiatric difficulties. So I think for me, we are actually dealing with something very, very different now, something I think obviously unprecedented in our lifetimes. And, all indication is that, yes, even though we are seeing an uptake, there's no question in anxiety and depression. I think really we're going to only really see the result of this, in months to come, because this is very different to anything else we've seen before. There are very big differences between, past experiences like SARS. And I can certainly point those out to you, but it is very different, and it does seem like we are going to get some people are calling it a tsunami of psychological difficulties.
Months to come. Is there a common thread or a common trend that you're seeing?
Well, I think for me, at the moment, it's interesting how when we talk about dealing with a trauma, dealing with for example, a fire, a huge fire, or even what we've just seen in Beirut, with this terrible, terrible explosion where, people have been killed. It seems like over 100 already have been killed and just devastated a whole city. It's terrible, absolutely terrible, but it's very different to deal with something like that compared to the coronavirus. Because if you think about what happened there, it's over. It's happened. It is absolutely terrible. People are traumatized. But you can talk to people from a psychological perspective that the danger is now over. And when it comes to coronavirus, the danger is not over, and it always seems to be lurking. And there's no real safe zones as such. We can't move to another part of the city if we're using that,
Yes, as an analogy, yeah.
Yeah. And I think for me, that's, you know, that's a difficulty from a psychological perspective. And then also that it's invisible. You know, you just don't know where it is really, you know, with a disaster, if it's a, you know, whatever it might be, let's, you know, use that. It's, we know where the disaster is. It has a limited kind of boundary and time period. And then you can move on from it and start to heal. But I think with the, you know, the pandemic, it goes in waves. You know, you're not very sure. There's almost like there's no neat boundaries, and there's a blurring between, you know, when is the crisis and when is recovery, because we seem to be kind of moving, you know, from crisis to recovery, then crisis again. So this really, really does complicate, you know, dealing with it. And it's harder to be resilient when there's no consistency or no endpoint in mind. So yeah. I think for me, this does, you know, it's almost like a, it's maybe, again, maybe not a completely accurate analogy, but it's almost like, you know, the terrible situation where an abuser is, abuser or someone who's being abused is still living with their abuser, or a soldier who's got post-traumatic stress is still living, is still in the war zone, you know. So it's kind of like you experiencing difficulty and you're experiencing psychological fallout, but in a way you can't allow yourself to actually just start to recover because you're still in it.
Because you're going straight back into it.
And I feel like for some of us, actually, our coping mechanisms have been taken away due to COVID-19.
Alcohol and cigarettes.
Yes. No, but I mean, we all have different coping mechanisms.
Yes,
and for some of
social,
us. Social, exactly.
Having a cup of coffee with a friend
or
a family
member.
Do you know what I
mean? As much as we know that maybe some of those are not healthy, but they allowed us to kind of get through whatever we needed to get through. And now we are confronted with having to, you know, confront our issues head on. And sometimes it's not as easy. It's not as easy as it looks.
Mm. So it's interesting. And David Duck, even taking a look at this Beirut thing, I wonder, because of the danger that we are perceiving and living with COVID all around us, does that become exaggerated as well? You know, I've always been a little bit news obsessed, but what's interesting to me is now almost everybody is engaged in all of these horror stories. And then we see a terrible story in Beirut and we say, oh, 2020. It just kind of proves how terrible the world is, how dangerous the world is. And we seem to be in, and it is terrible. More than 100 people killed. Beirut is decimated in many parts. It is terrible, but Are we making it worse because, not making it worse, are we perceiving it, the world as being more dangerous in every area and the year more dangerous because that's where our minds are at?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think if you are in a negative space, you're going to look for more negativity. I think that's just generally how people work. If you're feeling more positive about the world, you're generally going to see a lot more positivity. So, yeah, it is a bit of a vicious cycle.
Mm.
You know, interestingly, we spoke a while ago about grief, and I think that's also a big factor when it comes to, you know, the coronavirus. It's that, you know, this anticipatory grief also, you know, what will we be left with when this thing settles? You know, what will it be? You know, because again, you know, this whole idea of the uncertainty of where this is going to land. And, yeah, so that does create, again, the negativity, people thinking about the, you know, the future, you know, what. And I must say, I don't know why, how it irritates me. This is going to be my therapy session. When people say the new normal, because there's nothing normal about the new.
Yes, absolutely. You know? This is not normal. And stop using the word normal, because this is not normal. We're not living in normality.
Absolutely. And we're not going to settle in the new normal because, yeah, because it sounds like, you know, we're going back to something which is something we recognize and something that we, you know, we all kind of can adapt to very easily. It's going to be very different. So I think for me, this anticipatory grief we spoke about, you know, we've spoken a lot about loss, but also about what are we going to lose? What, you know, and it's again, very uncertain. It's a terrible thing when someone passes away. It's absolutely terrible. You know, but again, it's an event that happens and you start, as that person passes away, you start to work immediately, no matter how painful and overwhelming, you start to work through the grief. But right now, I think as Anati was pointing out, you know, we're in it and we still kind of don't know what we're going to lose. We still don't know when it's going to stop. And in a way, what stops us from really identifying the extent of our psychological difficulties that we're experiencing is that we still have to keep our defenses up to move forward because it's not over. So that's why I think for me, it's going to take some time for the fallout from all of this from a psychological point of view to be clearly seen.
So interesting, a listener in Israel says, please can you ask David, after self-isolating for such a long time now, I have an irrational fear of going out of my home. I look at all people who don't wear masks or don't wear them properly with such fear and with such anger.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that is very common. And seeing it more and more in the literature, I'm seeing it more and more, with my clients and when I speak to colleagues, that you actually have, so many people have lost trust in the world out there. And, we, just like it was difficult for us to kind of go into isolation and to cut ourselves off to a greater or lesser degree, people are very anxious to actually now venture out and to regain a sense of security in the world, to actually see that it can be safe. So that's not uncommon. And I would say to that person as we would to the children who are struggling to feel confident to go back to school, for example. There's been a lot of resistance, even though they're desperate to go back. There's this anxiety to go back, is to take small steps. So, you don't have to go and walk around a huge mall where there's lots of people on day one. I would say rather go and ease yourself into it to gain a sense of control, slowly a sense of control. So go for a walk in a park, maybe where there's bigger, there's bigger spaces, and you can keep a bit of a distance. So really, I would say, take small steps, and start venturing out. Obviously, when it's, when the authorities are saying it's permissible, go to broader spaces.
It's almost like you should, build up your own resilience around it, I guess. Hi FM, Karen M says, Howard, you can officially announce spring blossoms in Ilovo and new leaves in Corlett Drive. So definitely the weather is beautiful. We are going to get to, there's a little bit of a wobble tomorrow, Zanati.
Is it going to get cold?
It is getting a little bit colder tomorrow.
I can even feel it today.
Oh, you can't. You are not a human barometer. You are absolutely not a human barometer. Unsigned says, thought I was the only one of the few who hates the sound of cow-like chewing. So, I think in lockdown, many a murder will have taken place.
Especially
around.
When someone chews and they're talking at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Howard.
Yes.
I sometimes feel that Zanati's experiencing Stockholm syndrome, and you're keeping her. You brought her to the other side, but you're still keeping her hostage.
What? What does that even mean? And that's a psychological opinion. That's an expert.
That's really deep.
Okay. Let's expand on that, please, if you don't mind.
I didn't want to send
psychologist in private
birthday.
Practice. Oh, so you held it over a day, right?
Yeah, I held it over for today. Okay. I didn't want to say, be nice to Zanati. She's
that is so rude. I'm so nice to Zanati.
Mm-hmm. This is a psychologist.
Not when I'm listening.
Yeah.
I know.
This is serious, Howard.
Okay, but
we need a session.
Yes, but there are people that don't want spring to come, David. So they're forever feeling that it's going to be cold, and they aren't human barometers. They're just not.
they who's they?
I'm just saying. I'm othering you. What is that? Yes. so it is.
It's wrong, Zanati.
No, tomorrow is.
See what happens.
Tomorrow is definitely. In fact, Zanati, what is the weather tomorrow? I think it's only maximum for Samsung users a maximum of 14.
I think for me it's going to feel like -4.
Yeah, it is colder tomorrow. It does warm up again over the weekend. But that's always what happens in spring. Spring is an unstable time. No, it is. There's always a little bit of a cold snap, but if you look outside, according to Karen M, there are blossoms around. What is interesting
there
to me?
There are blossoms.
What is interesting?
There are blossoms.
Yeah, sorry, David.
No, I was going to say that it's so interesting. On the date of my mom's birthday, she has a blossom tree in her garden, and on her birthday, which was last week, there is always at least one blossom, and suddenly it's now looking absolutely beautiful. So I can attest to that. The blossoms are out.
No, they really are. Gimpel says it's called misophobia, and I am the biggest sufferer. Cow-like chewers, beware. It's amazing, hey, how it can absolutely. So, Gimpel, here's the question. Is it anybody who chews like that, or is it, or you, do you get more irritated with certain people?
Well, if I can say absolutely, you know, people are much more likely to be irritable and irritated when they're not feeling, you know, in a good space. You know, so I think for me, it might, you know, I'm sure there's a small amount of people who just generally have that, you know, that's their thing. They just don't like hearing people chew.
Mm.
But I think for me, we're more susceptible to it when we're just not feeling ourselves, you know, the smallest things are going to irritate us. So I think we're going to have a lot of people feeling a little bit more irritated about how their spouses chew. You know, certainly over the last few months than we would normally have.
Funny enough for me, I think it's with certain people, because I have a friend that chews like that, but I've gotten used to it. But now I had a friend in varsity that used to chew like that, and it used to drive me mad. I don't know.
So that is interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting that it is, it can be person specific. David, how do we go about, recognizing if somebody who we are living with or a friend of ours or a family member who we're in contact with, is experiencing greater forms of psychological distress? Very often, you know, it's, and it's always a difficulty for me because everything is on a scale. So, you know, a person might be somebody, for example, I'm just using this ridiculous example, who doesn't like the sound of other people chewing. When does it get to a point? And I'm just, as I say, that's a ridiculous example, but it's like that with everything. You know, somebody might be a bit anxious. How do we know that they are getting to a point, especially now during lockdown, where we might not be seeing them, we might not be able to spend more time with them, where we become concerned and we intervene?
Well, I think for me, I think what could be useful is to think about the person before the coronavirus, before the lockdown, and how they are now. And I think
that
often when it comes,
feel
like years ago, but to try and see, you know, the comparison between the person then and person now, and what we look for is changes in the person's, you know, behavior. And what we're talking about is that this person now, even from the most more outward behavior, like has their eating patterns changed? Are they eating less or more? Are they sleeping less or more? Are they struggling with their mood? Is their mood dropped? Are they more irritable? And you know, just really just, as you're saying, kind of just not themselves. They attacking you all the time, or very critical or very negative about the world. So we're really looking at a comparison between the two. And then the other thing obviously is then, you know, talking of in such negative terms, you know, like is it worth living? Is it, you know, just listening to the actual flavor, if you want to call it that, of the conversation. So I think for me, it's very important to look out for these type of things when, you know, and also like, you know, when we talk about teenagers, you know, and even for adults, like, not washing and not grooming themselves, just not really kind of looking after themselves in any way, and a lack of energy, just wanting to just stay in bed or, you know, do very little. These are the things that we want to look out for. But, you know, if it happens, if these things happen, you know, one or two days for, you know, for a day or two here and there, that would be normal. We're all under stress. This is affecting everyone. But really, we should be concerned when it starts to last for, I would say, a 10-day period and longer. So, you know, I wouldn't be distressed. I wouldn't be overly concerned if your child or your friend or your family member is feeling a bit more anxious or didn't eat as much that day or had two nights of, you know, difficult sleep. We look for more consistency over time, of these symptoms, and it really will overall experiencing these kind of, these symptoms, would impact on their ability to actually, you know, function in the world, you know, relative to what functioning is now. So if they're not getting up to do their work in the morning at home, that would be a sign. You know, they're not going to the shops, they're not contacting friends. That would be signs, you know. But again, very important to look for, you know, a number of these signs over a longer period of time, which would be, I would say, you know, 10 days, then obviously, you know, we would start being concerned. And I think for me, that's the point, Howard. I think if I'd just like to say that, you know, we are so blessed with so many helplines in the community. You know, we've got certainly a helpline with Hatsola. We've got a helpline with Chai FM. And I would say to people, if you're in doubt, just pick up the phone. Just pick up the phone. There are, as I said, we are blessed with these facilities. And yes, I think if you are even just thinking, maybe I'm not feeling myself. Maybe I haven't been feeling myself.
Just reach out.
Just reach out. Yeah. It's confidential. And, you know, the power of just actually putting it out there is remarkable. It's
Absolutely.
Remarkable. And I think we underestimate the power of just speaking to someone else about how we're feeling. Because often we say, well, what's that going to do? That's not going to take the coronavirus away. That's not going to be.
Yeah, but it'll make amazing. Us feel a bit better. Absolutely.
It's amazing how powerful it is.
David, we do have to leave it there, unfortunately. Mm. We have gone over. It is 8:34. Gimple says it's called misophonia. And, everybody irritates me when they do this. Even my children. Strangers must be more cautious. It's got nothing to do with a lock.